All right, let's take our Bibles and open to Revelation chapter number 10. We're going to go back and look at chapter 9 just for a little bit. Our time is a little limited tonight. We've got about 25 minutes, and so we'll see what the Lord will allow us to get in that 25 minutes. Revelation chapter number 10. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll read the first seven verses together, Revelation chapter 10, as we go through the book of the Revelation. Last week, we ended in chapter 9, verses 19 and 20. We will go back to that for just a moment, but I want to read Revelation 10, verses 1 through 7. You follow along as I read aloud. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and all the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the content of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I pray now you'd help us as we focus on your word in these moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated. Now, if you'll remember, week before last, I appreciate Pastor David filling in while we were out of town last week. But the week before last, we finished up in chapter 9. And chapter 9, the scripture says, the latter part of chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. I want to pick up something there. If you'll remember, as we went through and talked about the book and the content of the book, we gave in chapter 1, verse number 19, and I hope that you'll turn there and look at that. In chapter 1, verse number 19, I want to give you a little bit of an overview of what's being taught here. In chapter 1, verse number 19 of the Revelation, we have a good outline of the overview of the book. Now, it's very general, and we have been a little more in-depth than the outline itself. But in verse number 19, Jesus told John, he said, write the things which thou hast seen. And, of course, we know that's the vision that John saw in chapter 1. And then he said, and the things which are, and we believe that to be, the church age, chapter 2 and chapter 3, which ends with the Philadelphian church and the Laodicean church. And then he said, and the things, in verse 19, which shall be hereafter. So here's a three-point outline that the Lord gives of this book. Okay, he said, I want you to write the things that you have seen, the past. And then he said, I want you to write about the present age. And this is where we are, okay? We're in chapter 3 of the book of the Revelation. And I believe that we're part of the true church, which is the Philadelphian church. And I believe there is an apostate church, which is the church of Laodicea, where Jesus is not on the inside, but he's on the outside, and he's knocking and getting in to get in. And there will be people that will be saved as they individually call upon him. And that's what chapter 3, verse number 20 deals with. But then he made this statement in verse number 19. He said, I also want you to write the things which shall be hereafter. Now, if you'll turn to chapter 4 and look at verse number 1, it changes just a little bit, okay? He did not say the things which shall be hereafter. In chapter 4 and verse 1, John said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. These things must happen, okay? God said they must happen. They're going to happen. Now, what are those things? Well, in chapter 4, the remainder of chapter 4 and chapter 5, it takes place in heaven. And there's this book that's given. Now, there's worship. If you'll remember, we talked about the mention of the word throne. It's mentioned over and again in chapter 4 and in chapter number 5, but in particular chapter number 4. And then in chapter 5, there's this little book. This little book that is sealed. And there was no one in heaven that was able to take the book. Look in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He said, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And he said, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John began to weep. And he was very dismayed. Now, if you recall, we talked about how that Jesus prevailed, and he took the book, and he was worthy. This book is the title deed of the earth. And within it is God's right to deal with the earth. And then, when, as John was discussing this and the vision that John had, chapter 6 says, and I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals. And so then we began to see the contents of the book. As the seals, it was sealed with seals, the scripture says in verse number 1 and in verse number 2 of chapter 5. But in chapter 1, verse 1 begins to talk about the seals being opened, and we began to talk about the series of judgments that God's going to bring to this earth as the seals were opened, and then the seals introduced us to trumpets, and within the trumpets there were seven seals, and then there's seven trumpets. The last three trumpets have three woes. So there's a woe in the fifth trumpet, a woe in the sixth trumpet, a woe in the seventh trumpet. And then the seventh trumpet introduces us to the seven final plagues, which are the seven vile judgments. Now, all of this deals with the tribulation period. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. I want you to notice what happens here. It's very important. All right, so Jesus said, these things must be hereafter. I know some things that are going to happen. I'm not a prophet. I cannot see into the future. And so if you leave here saying our preacher's flipped his lid and he's ready to have some kind of healing service, you're mistaken what I'm saying to you tonight. See, I know what you can know. I know what God said must happen. And if God said it must happen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he begins to tell us some things that's going to unfold. The very next thing that's going to happen on God's prophetic calendar, the major event, is the rapture of the church. God's coming for his church. God's coming for us. He's going to take us out of here. And it's going to be before these seals are open. Yes, sir. Because the seals are going to start the tribulation period. So there's the rapture of the church. If you're saved, when Jesus comes, he's going to take us out of here in the rapture of the church. All right? Now, when Jesus takes us out of here, the rapture of the church is going to begin to put into motion several things which must be hereafter. Then there's these seals that are going to be open. And from chapter number 6, and we went through and we looked at these seals as they were open. And as they were open, then we got to the trumpets when the seventh seal was opened and introduced to trumpets. And we went through six of the trumpets. Now in chapter number 9, It ends by saying this, with all that God has done. Now you say, what has God done? Well, I want you to notice something here. Look in chapter number 9 and verse number 18. By these three was a third part of men killed, and it mentions by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone. A third part of men. Now I looked up today what people say that the population of the earth is, and the guesstimation is right around 7.8 billion. It's a lot of people. Just for round figures so we can see what's going on here, I want you to go back to chapter 6 just for a moment, and let's just see what's going to happen. When the rapture of the church takes place, I don't know how many people's going up. I tell you, the longer I live, I believe the fewer it's going to be. I mean, I just do. There's just so many people that talk it but don't walk it. They claim it but don't possess it. It's just, listen. Now, I understand that people are not perfect, and I understand that people that backslide. I get that, and people lose their way along the way. We all have. You say, well, not me, preacher. Well, now, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. We don't stay on fire, and I wish we did. That's right. I'm not excusing backsliding. I'm not excusing disobedience. I'm just telling you the facts. I wish we'd stay on fire for God. Amen. I do believe this. I believe if you've never had a fire, something's wrong with you. If you've never had joy in your heart, if you've never had a desire to serve Jesus, if you've never had a love for the Word of God, if you've never had a passion for God, if you've never had compassion for the lost, something's not right. So in chapter 6, I want you to notice a verse of Scripture with me. Look at verse number 8. So I don't know how many people's going out in chapter 4. I don't know how many people's going out. So, you know, if Jesus were to come tonight, then they tell us there's 7.8 billion people. I don't know how many people's going out. I don't know. So we're going to leave that number alone just for a moment. I know this. We won't be here. All right? You say, well, I'm going through the tribulation period. Well, then you're lost. You know, saved people are not going through the tribulation period. That's right. Not because the preacher said so, but because God said so. Now, look in chapter 6 and verse number 8. When the seals began to be opened, the final part of that, those four horsemen, which is part of the seals, the six seals, this is the fourth seal, the fourth horseman, the scripture says that a fourth part, right in the middle of verse number 8 of chapter 6, says that power was given over them, over the fourth part of the earth to kill, over the fourth part of the earth to kill. Now, I didn't do the best in math, but if we rounded off 7.8 billion to 8 billion, you took a fourth of that, that's 2 billion people. Now, I realize that there's going to be people go out in the rapture. I'm just trying to give you some numbers of the devastation of the carnage. Can I tell you, man is infatuated with war. Man is infatuated with war. And I know there needs to be war sometimes to preserve the peace. I understand that. I'm not a pacifist. You know that. And so, but I do want you to know, since the Garden of Eden, since sin, man has been infatuated with war. I do believe there's a time for peace and there's a time to fight. The Word of God says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. There's some times that we need to go to war. Amen. Amen. But man is infatuated with war. As a matter of fact, it's just amazing. Man provokes and starts wars for political advantage and for political gain. That's right. It's been going on for years and years. Here, the scripture says that there's going to be 2 billion people in one swipe. You know? I mean, that's an estimate. That's an estimate. Right here in chapter 6, verse 8. Did you see it? Did you see it? Now, and then he goes on and he tells about things that are going to happen to where people are going to be, not only killed, but they're going to be tortured. Now, I'm doing this for a reason. Look in chapter 9 just for a moment. Look, if you would, in chapter 9 in verse number 5. Chapter 9, verse 5. And to them, and we studied this, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. But, look at it, but that they should torment, that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, these folks will say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to wait till the tribulation period. You don't want to be a part of that, brother. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're here and you're not saved, or you're watching by live stream and the devil's fed you that lie, you have no clue what you're talking about. You don't want to be a part of this now. All right, we're not talking about a little small cataclysm on one side of America. We're talking about worldwide catastrophe, the judgment of Almighty God. The great day of His wrath has come, chapter 6 says, and who shall be able to stand? This is real, brethren. This is real. So, you know, I wonder why these Christians are always talking about Jesus and always talking about sin and always talking about the end of times. Because it's real. Because it's real. Folks say, well, you know, these folks in there at Fellowship Baptist Church, you're serious about this thing. I didn't know there's another way to be. This is real, brethren. This is reality. And so when you read in chapter number 6, you see where a fourth of the earth, listen, a fourth is going to be killed in war and through pestilence and through disease. And then here, there's going to be these demonic figures that are going to be released from the bottomless pit on the earth to torture men 5 months. And men are going to seek death. And death is going to flee from them. And then you read the end of chapter number 9, and you'd think, well, boy, that'll humble people. But I want you to notice the last two verses of chapter 9. Look at it. Chapter 9 says in verse number 20 and 21, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. Oh, I forgot one. I forgot to tell you there's another big dose of carnage. And this is sad, but I'm building for something here in chapter 10. When I read chapter 10, I thought, what is that talking about? And then when I began to do some research and I began to look back, I said, that's exactly what it is. This is what's happening here. Go back in chapter number 9 and look at verse number 18. By these three was a third part of men killed. And he mentions the three, by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone. So now, in chapter 6, through those seals, there's one-fourth of the population. And now what's left has been tormented for 5 months, and now one-third of what's left is going to be killed. Now, God said these things must be hereafter. It's going to happen. I'm not glad that's going to happen. You say, well, good, they get what they deserve. I don't want to see anybody suffer. I tell you, it takes a sick person to see somebody suffer. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I don't want to see anybody die in their sin and go to hell. Who would want that? You know, people get angry at somebody and say, oh, you go to hell. Do you realize what you're praying? Do you realize what you've just said? Surely to heaven, nobody in here tonight as a Christian would be caught using that kind of language, trying to place that kind of curse. You're telling a man to go somewhere or a woman to go somewhere that Jesus had died. He shed his life's blood to prevent them from going there. Why would you want to curse them to there? Try having compassion. That's what makes a difference. You be careful about using that kind of language. And the scripture says here that by these three, so you see, we're in the tribulation period. And you read this and you think, my, that's terrible. Can I tell you, we're in the tribulation period. When you're reading this in chapter 9, we haven't even made it to the great tribulation period yet. Did you know that? The 3.5 years are yet to come. Okay? The final 3.5 years of that 7-year period has not come. This is the tribulation period. I want you to notice the state of man after God has released judgment. Now, we've seen in chapter 7 where God also sent 144 sealed missionaries, if you will, Jews, Jewish evangelist missionaries, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And here's man's response to God trying to get men to get saved in the midst of this judgment. Look, if you would, in chapter 9. After all this carnage, after all of this torment, after all of that's taken place upon this earth with the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, the scripture says in verse number 19, verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. That's just mind-boggling to me. Men are so against God, they're so bent against Him, they just are so full of pride in their heart, they will not bend, they say, I'm not going to do it. And the scripture says in verse number 19 that they repented not of the works of their hands. Look at it now, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You're talking about a world that is spiraling out of control. That's what's happening here. You see, the salt and the light's been taken. People think they hate Christians. They think they don't need us around. But I'm going to tell you right now, brethren, we are staying back the judgment of Almighty God upon this earth. And when God removes the salt and the light in the rapture, this world is going to be in a moral freefall like it's never seen. It's terrible. It's terrible. And then we get to chapter 10. And John said, I saw another mighty angel. Now this angel, and we'll get into this some next week. Some people believe this is the Lord Jesus because of the description of him. You'll notice he has a rainbow. A rainbow is a part of a covenant. It's not part of pride. It's part of a covenant. I'm going to say that again. It's not part of pride. It's part of a covenant that God made with man. And here Jesus in verse number, or this angel, and I can't prove it's Jesus, but I will say the description sure describes someone like Jesus. It says that he had a rainbow upon his head, and we know that Jesus is the one who sealed the new covenant or the New Testament in his blood. And then it says his face was, as it were, the sun. Speaking of, I believe, the Shekinah glory of his face, and his feet as pillars of fire. We know fire being a purifying agent, it's a sign of judgment. And he had in his hand, now here's the key, this is where we're going to close tonight. So here comes this angel in chapter 10. By the way, in chapter 10, something changes, and we'll get to it next week, the Lord willing. Something changes, there's a transition time, okay? So the sixth trumpet has sounded, and the seventh trumpet is yet to sound, and so in chapter number 10, there's a switch from the first 3.5 years now to the second 3.5 years, from tribulation to great tribulation. There is a distinction made by Jesus himself and through other scriptures of the 7-year period. There's 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. In the middle of that, when you read about Daniel and Daniel's 70th week, you read that there will be an abomination of desolation. You will find where a covenant is going to be broken with the nation of Israel. All right? The Antichrist is going to break that covenant. He's going to come as the friend of Israel, but then he's going to break that covenant in the middle of the tribulation period, 3.5 years, and then he is going to unleash wrath upon God's people, nationally speaking, the nation of Israel. They are going to flee to the rocks of Petra. Brethren, this is real, okay? And the scripture says that this angel, now notice what he had in his hand in verse number 2. He had in his hand a little book, but it was open. Remember the book in Revelation 5, and my time's about up, so I want to give you this, okay? This little book is again, it's the title deed. And it belongs to Jesus. Amen. He purchased back the dominion. Not only did he purchase by shedding his blood for the souls of man, but he purchased back the redemption of this earth so that he could have dominion over this earth. He's coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth. He is. Jesus is coming back here. He's going to set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And so watch what happens here. The scripture says that this angel had in his right hand, verse 2, I'm in chapter 10, verse 2, the book was open, and it says that he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. I'm telling you. He said, I own this. Amen. It's mine. That's right. I own this. And whatever happens, I have the right to do it. And so he said in verse number 3, he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John said, I was about to write. And he said, oh, don't write that. I want you to seal it up. I find that very interesting. In the book of unveiling, there's something being veiled. That's interesting to me. In a book where God is saying, unveil, open up, reveal. That's what the book of the Revelation is. It's a revealing. It's an unveiling. And he's saying, open it up. But here, when this happens, he said, I want you to seal this up. Don't you write that. He said, I don't want you to write that. I want you to seal that up.
And John said, well, then I didn't write it. He said, I didn't write it. Verse number 5 says, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, in the earth and the sea and the things. And then he made this statement, and this is where we'll close tonight. Look at the latter part of verse number 7. He said that there should be time no longer. He says, coming to a close, brethren. And he said, these last 42 months, these 1,260 days, which we'll get to them. If you look in chapter number 11 and verse number 2, he mentions 40 and 2 months. You see that, the latter part of verse number 2 of chapter 11? 40 and 2 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. We're getting ready to start the second half of tribulation, which is called the Great Tribulation. And so it's almost as if he's saying, you know, you think that first 42 months was something, and all the carnage and disease and all that took place, the pestilence and the hunger and the pain and the suffering. He said, it's getting ready to intensify. He said, but before it does, he said, I want to break down some things for you, and I want to introduce you to some people that's going to come up. And so in chapter number 11, he introduces us to two witnesses. In chapter 12, he introduces us to a sun-clothed woman, which is Israel, a man-child, which is Jesus, and a dragon, which is Satan. And in chapter 13, he introduces us to two beasts, one of the sea, which is a political antichrist, and the beast of the earth, which is religious antichrist or false prophet. And he says these seven characters are going to be very, very prevalent in the things that take place in the last half of the tribulation, and when it closes, and the setting up of the kingdom. And we'll talk about that in our further studies. I tell you, I would really encourage you to read chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14. They're parenthetical. Chapter 15 begins and says, these are the final plagues. That's the way chapter 15, verse 1 starts. It says, here's the final seven plagues before God finishes the mystery of what he's going to do to this earth for their sin and rejecting his son. Now, John, he told John to eat that book. Read it in the rest of chapter 10. He said, I want you to eat this book. And he said, when you do, he said, in your mouth it's going to taste like honey. But in your belly it's going to be bitter. And brethren, that's just the way it is. When I see God's word and I read God's word, I say, yes, God knows what is right. Amen. God knows what to do, how to do it. God knows. But I have to be honest, and the Bible actually says it here. It's in your stomach, it's bitter. When I read about carnage and I read about some of the things I read about, it doesn't set well with my stomach. But I know God is right. I know God is right. And God says, listen, I don't take pleasure in this. It's not my will that men should perish. It's their will. Right? See, that's their will. They have refused my grace. And we'll talk about that as we move forward. I know sometimes we struggle with some of the things that God does and how he does it, but brethren, I know this. I've lived long enough, I've served him long enough that God never does wrong. He always does right. Amen. He always does only right. And he knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you too. I want us to stand to our feet and we'll have a word of prayer and we're going to dismiss, all right? Now, when